بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين.
All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and cure. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His choices of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of you all who are present here to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Allah azza wa jal during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. Ameen. Insha'Allah ta'ala, for today's sermon we are going to be touching on a list of amazing and beautiful sunan. Sunan is the plural of sunnah. Sunnahs of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we are going to touch a few beautiful sunan, some of which are obligatory and some of which are highly recommended. And these sunan are in regard to the best day of the week, the day that we are in, i.e. Friday. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ. The best day upon which the sun has risen is Friday. خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمُ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا. It was on Friday that our father Adam alayhi salatu was salam was created. It was on Friday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admitted Adam alayhi salatu was salam entry into Jannah. And it was on Friday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Adam alayhi salatu was salam out of Jannah. It is the best day upon which the sun has risen according to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us certain sunnah, certain acts to be practiced on Friday. And it is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created time equal. In other words, He has given us seasons to procure good deeds, to secure His pleasure by doing good deeds as much as possible. In a few days inshaAllah ta'ala, we will all be welcoming the blessed month of Ramadan. When we talk about month, the most blessed of all months is the month of Ramadan. When we talk about night, the most blessed of all nights, Laylatul Qadr. When we talk about days, Yawm al-Jum'ah, Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with seasons so that we grab the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us to secure more good deeds, thereby attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one on the list, when we talk about Friday, the first most preferable act from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is to pray Salatul Fajr with the Imam Jama'ah. The first act. We start off the day with Salatul Fajr with the congregation. as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the narration is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bayhaqi, that the best prayer an individual, a believer, can offer during the whole week, the best prayer that a believer can pray during the whole week is Salatul Fajr on Friday with the congregation. The best prayer. So we start off the day by praying Salatul Fajr with the congregation, with the Imam Jama'ah. Number one. Number two, the second action item is to take a bath, to perfume oneself, and to don the best garments an individual owns. It does not necessarily have to be brand new garments, but the best garments that an individual owns, he is supposed to don those garments. Take a bath, perfume oneself, and to don the best garments. Hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, غُسْلُ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ وَاجِبٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُحْسَنٍ. Taking a bath on Friday is compulsory on every single person who has come of age, on every single believer who has come of age. عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُحْسَنٍ. It is compulsory according to the word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we must take a bath, perfume ourselves, wear the best clothes that we have, and head to the masjid. The next action item is to read Suratul Kahf, which is the 18th chapter of the Noble Quran. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the whole point of discussing this list is to educate ourselves about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to educate ourselves about the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us, and also to act upon all of these sunnah. As we know, knowledge mandates action. So the minute we learn something, it is upon us to act upon it. If not, no doubt, we will be held accountable on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal ease the questioning for all of us. Ameen. So the third action item is to read Suratul Kahf, which is the 18th chapter of the Noble Quran. And the rewards are just amazing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever reads Suratul Kahf on Friday, the narration goes along the lines of these words, that individual will be illuminated with light between the two Fridays. So if you read Suratul Kahf today, you will be illuminated with light until the next Friday. Allahu Akbar. You will be illuminated, you will be engulfed with nur until the next Friday. So it is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us take it upon ourselves to recite Suratul Kahf on Fridays in general. The next action item is to set out early and go to the masjid walking if the masjid is close by in terms of the proximity of your residence. If you live close by to the masjid, it is highly recommended that you set out early and that you go to the masjid walking. There is a narration which goes along the lines of these words, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the individual who takes a bath, gets ready, perfumes himself, wears the best of his clothes, and heads to the masjid early, walking, for every step, he will be rewarded the reward of fasting during the day and staying up the whole night for one whole year. For every single step, Allahu Akbar. For every single step, the reward that he gets is equivalent to the reward of fasting the whole day, staying up the whole night for one complete year. For every single step. Subhanallah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now that we live in an era and an age where we all generally commute in vehicles, that for every turn of the tire, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us similarly. But then again, if you park your vehicle and you walk to the masjid, wherever you park the vehicle and you walk to the masjid, then again you are securing these rewards that have been promised to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Just amazing. The next action item is part of this one, is to set out early. Now this is something that many of us, we fail to do so. To set out to the masjid early. And when we say early, look at this particular narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narration goes along the lines of these words. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the individual who comes during the first hour, Now before we go ahead, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divides the time into five portions. Five portions. So scholars rahimahumullah explain that the five portions basically begin right after sunrise. In other words, right after Salatul Fajr. The five portions. And it ends the minute the Imam exits the door. It ends the minute the Imam exits the door. The minute you see the Imam, the Khatib, exiting, the time ends. The individual who comes during the first hour, during the first portion, he gets the reward equivalent to sacrificing a camel sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is very, very early. Allahu Akbar. It's almost just right after sunrise. This portion, the first portion. But we must strive as believers. Most of us, when we go on a Umrah, when we go to Mecca, when we go to Medina, we do head to the masjid very early because we want to secure a good place. But when it comes to our own localities, we tend to come in very late. We come in after the Imam has climbed on the pulpit. And at times we come in when the Imam or when the Iqama is called out. We think that it is important to just make it for the Salah. But no. Yes, Salah is obligatory, but if you want to secure amazing rewards, you need to come in early for Salatul Jum'ah. So the first portion is at its earliest, that is right after sunrise, the individual gets the reward of sacrificing a camel for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual who comes during the second hour, the second portion, he gets the reward of sacrificing a cow for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual who comes during the third portion, the third hour, he gets the reward of sacrificing a sheep or a goat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual who comes during the fourth portion, the fourth hour, he gets the reward of sacrificing a hen for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a chicken for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. And the individual who comes during the last portion, the final portion, the fifth portion, he gets the reward of giving an egg for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One egg. But it's something better than nothing. But sadly, the individual who comes in after the Imam has exited, then there is no reward for him in terms of coming early. Yes, he gets the reward for making it for Salatul Jum'ah, but he does not get any reward for coming early, because the minute, in that very same hadith, the minute the Imam exits the door, the angels who are at the entrance of the masjid, bear in mind that there are angels at the entrance of the masjid with registers registering your name, and these will talk, will be presented on the day of Qiyamah in favor of you if you have come early. The angels who have been put in charge to record the name, the minute the Imam exits, those angels close those registers and come inside to listen to the khutbah. They come inside to listen to what the Imam has to say. Allahu Akbar. Words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own desire. He speaks that which is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us strive to make it as early as possible, the least before the Imam exits. Because the minute the Imam exits, the registers are closed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Moving on, the next action item is Salatul Jum'ah itself. It is obligatory upon every single believer. Salatul Jum'ah is obligatory. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, that let the people not neglect Salatul Jum'ah. Let the people not neglect Salatul Jum'ah. For if you were to neglect Salatul Jum'ah, Allah Azza wa Jal will place a seal upon your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal your heart if you neglect Salatul Jum'ah. So as believers, it is mandatory, it is obligatory upon us to make it for Salatul Jum'ah. And then before we move further, it is important to highlight that at times, maybe due to valid reasons, you can get late. As we all have other commitments, and as human beings, we can get late. But if we get late, it is upon us
not to start crossing the shoulders of people and trying to make it to the first row. If we come in late, we're supposed to sit wherever we find a spot. We're not supposed to cross people and at times sit in front of people looking for a comfortable spot right under the fan or by the window. If we come in late, we need to be ready to even at times pray by the stairs, even at times, because we have gotten late. We can't expect to come right in front, crossing the people, harming them, and at times, crossing their shoulders, crossing their heads, and causing a lot of discomfort. This is not the quality of a believer, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has advised us against it. If we have to get late, we're supposed to find a spot wherever we can find a place and sit down there and make do with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to make it early for Salatul Jum'ah. Moving on. The next action item, and this is specifically in regard to the blessed day, Friday, we're supposed to send excessive blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We're supposed to send excessive blessings and salutations upon Rasulullah. We'd use the day Friday to send salawat. And from the salawat, the best salawat that we can read is salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Fil alamina innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Fil alamina innaka hamidun majid. We must read salawat as much as possible. Send excessive blessings and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final action item that I would like to touch on for today's sermon is to make excessive dua. To make excessive dua during prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, specifically in regard to Friday, that there is a special hour. There is a special hour during Fridays known as Sa'atul Istijaba. Sa'atul Istijaba. And the narration goes along the lines of these words, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the individual who makes dua, who prays unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that hour, in other words, if his dua were to coincide with that special hour, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer his dua. This is an amazing hour. But it hasn't been clearly defined to us, because there are a number of reports that talk about this specific hour. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions in his book Zadul Ma'ad that from amongst all of these reports, the most authentic two opinions are that, number one, it is from the time the Imam climbs on top of the pulpit until he concludes with his prayer. Until he concludes with the prayer. From the time the Imam climbs on the pulpit until he concludes with the prayer. This is the short span of time. This is one opinion. And opinion number two is that it is after Salatul Asr, during the final hour, which is close to Salatul Maghrib. The final hour of Friday. That is close to Salatul Maghrib after Salatul Asr. So what's stopping us from making dua during both times so that we are safe? And so that our du'as coincide with this special time, and so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our du'a. At times you might wonder, okay, how am I, it's a little, maybe at times cumbersome, how do I make so much of du'a? Why don't we at least make the most beautiful of all du'as? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. It is a win-win situation. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the very best in this world. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. The very best in the hereafter. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And save me from the blazing fire of Jahannam. A beautiful, concise dua that wraps up almost everything a believer would require in this world as well as the hereafter. And how long is it going to take? And scholars also highlight that it is important that even though there is this opinion, you must not get your priorities mixed up, where you're not supposed to make dua while the Imam is in the middle of his sermon. Because at times then you're not focusing on the sermon. You must listen to the sermon, and when the Imam makes dua, you are allowed to say Ameen. And then, just before the prayer, whilst you're in the prayer, after the prayer, you're allowed to make dua. You must make dua as much as possible. But during the sermon, you must listen to the imam. As the hadith goes, you must listen attentively. You must listen attentively whilst the imam is delivering the sermon. So we must make as much dua as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Friday. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, these opportunities come very rarely. When we talk about life itself, it is a chance that you are not going to get again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمْلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمْلًا. He has created life and death to test which one of you is best in terms of deed, in terms of good deed. This is a chance given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an opportunity to secure as much good deeds as possible. So we must strive hard. As believers, we need to strive really hard and not waste this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all with. I would like to leave you all with an interesting story. There was once a carpenter who was very good at his job. He used to be very proficient. He used to build houses, and he worked for a particular employer. And the employer was very satisfied with him because his work was immaculate, perfect. His jobs generally, he used to finish it on time, perfect. So the employer was very, very happy with him, and he used to remunerate him very well. But after some time, the carpenter now decides to retire. And then he goes to his employer and says, "Boss, sir, I feel like retiring. I worked with you for a very long time, and now I feel like retiring. Can you please let me retire?" The boss then says, "Okay, fine. You may retire, but there is just one more project I want you to work with me. Just one more project, one final project, and then you may leave." The carpenter says, "Okay, fine. I really want to retire, but this is the final project. And mark my word, right after the project, I'm leaving. I need to retire." The employer agreed. He said, "This is the final project, and after that you can retire." So the carpenter, the project was to build a house. Now the issue with the carpenter was he had already decided to retire. So he started this project half-hearted, and he wanted to get over with the project as quick as possible. So he did a very shoddy job. He used cheap material, and he finished the job quickly, very quickly. Because he did a very shoddy job, he did not do it according to his usual standards, because he had the whole mindset of leaving and retiring, and he thought, "Who cares? I mean, this is my final project. Let me just do it, finish it off, take my payment and leave. Let me retire." So he finished it sooner than the employer had expected. And then he contacts the employer comes to inspect the project. And when he came to visit the site, he came with documents and a key. He didn't even look at the house, which was very unusual. He went straight to the carpenter and said, "This is my payment to you for working with me for all these years. I gift you this house. This house belongs to you." He gives the documents of the house and the keys to the carpenter. Put yourself in the shoes of that carpenter. The carpenter now regrets. He thinks, "Oh, how I wish I had built this house according to my usual perfect standard. I would have been gifted a beautiful house to retire." But he lost the opportunity. Now I'm asking you all, can he inform the employer of the shoddy job that he did and tell him, "Look, can you please give me another chance? Let me build another house and then you give me that house"? No. If he were to inform his employer, that would destroy the beautiful relationship that he had with his boss. He had to close his mouth and make do with that shoddy house that he had built. Likewise, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this opportunity, this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all with, is never going to come back to us. This Friday, the 3rd of April, if it passes by us, we're never going to get it back again. The 3rd of April 2015 is not going to come back again. This hour that passes by, you're not going to get it back again. This is an opportunity given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us get our priorities straight. And let us focus to the eternal abode which we are headed. That's where we are going to live forever and ever. Let's secure that eternal abode. Let's secure the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, of course, we need to live good lives. I'm not saying that we have to all become hermits and go to the jungle. No, we have to marry, we have to live good lives, we have to live comfortably. But do all of that according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sincerely for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, every single thing that you do within the guidelines of sharia will become an ibadah insha'Allah ta'ala. Even the intimate relationship that you enjoy with your spouse, Allahu Akbar. Even that, your marriage, the pastime that you spend with your children. Maybe you are making your child laugh. You're playing with your child. If you're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt you will be rewarded for it. Perhaps you fed your wife a morsel of food. If you're doing it solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be rewarded for it. You're involved in trade. If you stay away from all that which is haram and only stick to that which is halal, you will be rewarded for earning a halal livelihood by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing that we do, let's put our intentions straight, let us do it solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, even Salatul Jummah, say for example, if we were to say, you know what, today we all feel very spiritually boosted, so let us pray. If you all were to approach me and say, let us pray Salatul Jummah 20 rak'ah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will it be accepted? If we pray 20 rak'ah, will it be accepted? Or instead of praying, if we all decide, shall we go and stand in the middle of Gold Road while the sun is blazing on top of us for half an hour for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or if an individual decides to roll on the street from Bangla Pitiya to Kolpiti for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, I'm doing this for your sake as an ibadah, accept it from me. Will that be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Why? Because it is not in accordance to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never prayed 20 rak'ahs of Salatul Jum'ah. He prayed 2 rak'ahs. So even if you want to exert yourself and pray 20 rak'ahs, fully connected with so much of spirituality, it will not be accepted by Allah azza wa jal. Because you have to follow the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that is the case in regard to ibadah, then what about our day-to-day lives? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best teacher, the perfect teacher. He did not leave us groping in the dark in any aspect, in any area of our lives. We have his teachings, his beautiful teachings, his beautiful sunan to follow in regard to any aspect of our lives. So let us educate ourselves about the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us study the sunnahs of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us act upon all of the sunnah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no doubt we will be successful in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah azza wa jal forgive all of our sins, accept our good deeds, and just as how he united us here this beautiful afternoon, may he unite us in the gardens of Jannah, the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'waya, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.